Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday. We are so close to the weekend. Not quite yet, though, and the Packers actually made some news today. First broken by Rob Domofsky, and then a little bit more reporting from Spoon over there at Packers News, the Journal Sentinel, regarding DeMarcus Covington, who will be coaching the defensive line for Matt LaFleur's squad in 2025. Originally on Bill Belichick's staff there in New England, coaching their defensive line before becoming the defensive coordinator under Gerard Mayo last season, did interview for that position, defensive coordinator, with the Colts, I believe, but that job went someplace else, and now he is in Green Bay. Fascinating to look at the work he did while with the Patriots, and I've already had people point out good things when it comes to, say, the defensive rankings, their run-stopping ability, sack numbers, and things like that. And as I've said in other social spots today, and I'll repeat here, I always kind of shy away from looking at any kind of rankings when you're talking about a guy working with a specific group of personnel in a very specific type of scheme or schematically asking guys to do X, Y, or Z, and then bringing them into your program with working with your guys and in a different scheme. It's just really hard to draw a straight line and say, well, he did really well in this regard, numbers wise, output production wise, with a totally different cast of characters being utilized in a very different scheme. Well, now obviously that's going to translate to what he's being asked to do in Green Bay. I just don't think that's the case. And I think that's really prevalent in a lot of analysis that goes on online, because it's all you have to work with on the outside, right? We're obviously not privy to the interviews. We have no idea what he's talked about in those interviews with both probably Matt and Jeff Hafley regarding what he sees along their defensive line talent-wise, what he thinks he can do to help unlock some of that talent, what they're asking him to do, not only schematically, but in relation to all three levels of the scheme to kind of work in concert together to get everything they need to get done as far as not just stopping the run, but also obviously rushing the passer. These are all things that we have no idea what kind of conversations are happening. So people glom onto rankings and the numbers that guys have compiled in other places with totally different personnel and totally different schemes. For me, I don't think it's a worthwhile activity. I will say the one interesting note that you can see kind of from the outside looking in is Covington was the defensive line coach a couple summers ago when the Patriots came to Green Bay. You'll remember they had that week of joint practices. They had two joint practices in a row prior to the preseason game. I would suspect he probably made an impression that week. You know, it's funny. We talk about this before kind of every set of joint practices every summer, and we discuss a lot about the players and information gathering. The coaches are doing it too, and the coaches watch and learn about other coaches. You know, it's a very small league. Most people know of everybody else, although obviously don't work with everybody. But I got to think that week, I would suspect LaFleur probably noticed Covington and was somewhat impressed. I can't wait to hopefully hear from Matt LaFleur about this hire and see when, you know, Covington first got on his radar. But I suspect that's probably where the kernel was kind of, you know, found or planted or what have you. But I am anxious to see him get to work with this crop of defensive linemen in Green Bay. No doubt about it, they needed a new approach. I understand the desire to move on from Rebovich. Hopefully Covington can help unlock some stuff that heretofore has gone unlocked in this last first year under Jeff Hafley. One other note from the reporting today, again, Rob was the first to put it out there. Sean Mannion, the offensive assistant, former NFL quarterback, who has been on the staff for 1 year, is reportedly set to become the quarterback's coach. Now, I know Spoon's reporting said that that deal is not done yet, although that is the expectation. So we'll talk probably a little bit more about that down the line once it becomes a little bit more official. But that's an interesting kind of elevation for a guy who I know LaFleur had nothing but high praise for last season when he came on board. And there had been a bit of a competition between the Bears, most notably, and a couple other teams to get him on staff. That's someone who clearly played in the league, knows the league and the offenses and defenses that are being utilized today very, very well. I'm very curious to see his approach with Jordan Love heading into this season and beyond. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everybody in the chat. Stu, I just want to say I love that I can put up this stream and go about my day and come back, and I always know the first thing I'm going to see is football. I appreciate you, man. Your stalwartness is much appreciated. Before we get going, let's give a shout-out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Do it, folks. There's a link in the description of this video. Use code CHTV. Hop on board. It's a lot of fun. Speaking of a lot of fun, it's always a lot of fun talking to Packers fans worldwide. Let's get to it, people. What do we got here? We got Johnny Rivers. Good to see you, buddy. Haven't seen you in a bit. I feel like next year will be huge for QB1's development. Kind of wish we got a QB coach with more experience slash a track record to get him cleaned up. I hear that, but that is exactly what he's coming off of, right? In Tom Clements. I mean, you talk about you can't get a much better track record. I like the idea of having someone who is very close to having played in the league and, again, knows not just what they're asking the quarterback to do in this system, but how to attack opposing defenses, has seen it, knows it, knows all the coverages, knows all the kind of wrinkles that defenses like to throw at you. And I know that Sean Mannion, yeah, I can already hear, not yours maybe specifically, Johnny, but some rejoiners or reactions like, well, he wasn't that good, or he was kind of, you know what? Mike Holmgren's like pinnacle as a player was like playing high school quarterback. Sean Payton, Super Bowl winning coach, great quarterback coach, never really made it as a superstar quarterback. But some guys are just blessed to be really excellent teachers of the game. I think JT O'Sullivan's YouTube channel is a perfect example of this, right? JT didn't have a crazy hot, white hot, like superstar career in the league. But you just got to listen to him break down plays and look at the game to understand how well he knows the game. And I'm not saying that's the level or even like close to what Sean's going to be doing with him. Who knows what Matt's going to ask him to do? I'm just saying the ability to know everything that's going on in the football field, not just offensively, but on the defensive side of the ball as well, how best to attack it, what defenses are trying to do to you, take things away, things like that, and how those fundamentals can become ingrained in you rather than something that maybe, you know, you lean into at the beginning of the year and then fades away as the season goes along. All of these are things that hopefully, you know, Mannion can talk to Love about and apply personal experience that he's literally just had in the last 3 or 4 years. Again, I understand people wanting a little bit more experience, more of a veteran presence, as it were. But again, Love just came off of, 3 years of that. I like having a new voice in his ear. I'm enthusiastic about that. Soder, what's going on, man? Just hope that Covington can bring the Patriot mentality of identify the weekly mismatch and I'll go and exploit that mismatch to the pack. Well, that was very much a Belichick thing, right? And I know Mayo most likely tried to keep that alive, but I suspect it'll be much more about training them up and getting guys going in their system, what they're being asked to do each and every week to attack opposing offenses, would have something to do with identifying weaknesses and trying to exploit them. But from all kind of accounts, he seems like a really good coach. And I am, once again, anxious to see him at work there at Reinicke Field next summer. Jeezy baby, what's going on, man? Does Halfley have final say on D-line coach or Matt LaFleur? That would be LaFleur's purview. Certainly, Halfley is involved. Undoubtedly, he spoke to the man in the interview process, but it is LaFleur's staff. And obviously he's going to get Hafley's input, but these are all, anything on Matt LaFleur's staff is a Matt LaFleur hire. 100%. Jim, that is one way to look at it. Really intrigued by this hire, says Jim. LaFleur went out of his comfort zone, no ties to Shanahan / McVay, and found what appears to be a solid coach. It's interesting to me because, and I'm not saying you're kind of going down this road, Jim, but so many people want to paint LaFleur as, he only, you know, stays within his buddy system, or he only hires his buddies. And obviously there are relationships in the NFL, and guys that you do know or have worked with or know people who have worked with him, you're going to lean that way more often than not. But yeah, I think this is a great example of him kind of finding someone outside of that circle. Also, Hafley is kind of that. I know he was aware of Hafley. I'm sure Saleh had talked about Hafley, but it's not like Hafley and he had some great, long-standing, deep relationship prior to his hiring him as defensive coordinator. But yes, I do like the idea of this hire, but that's all it is. Again, it's really impossible for us to sit on the outside and talk with any kind of certainty about how this will turn out, but I'm intrigued, and I'm certainly, I find it promising. Let's say that. Johnny, you convinced me, Nags. Well, that's the first time that has ever happened on this channel. Somebody run up the, hang the banner. I appreciate you, Johnny. Abdul, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while, man. Hey, Aaron, why is Alexander mad? It's not our fault he talks mad trash and then is out half the season. Man, you'd have to ask him, right? And you say he's mad, but I think you're most likely basing that on the comments attributed to him from locker cleanout day in the locker room when he said, I don't have anything good to say. So, yeah, I understand thinking, oh, he's mad, but who knows with Jair? Maybe that's just a one-day thing where he was just in a mood. Maybe he is upset and mad and thinks he needs to move on. Never know. You never know. But we'll find out probably down the road when inevitably I still suspect the Packers will move on. And wherever he ends up, I'm sure he'll do some kind of media and talk about the last year, if not the last couple years, in Green Bay. And maybe we'll find out. We will see. I love it. This is my favorite 1-2 punch comment-wise on YouTube. Eddie P says, no! And he follows it up with, this guy is trash. See, because what's so funny about this is I don't know if Eddie's talking about DeMarcus Covington or if he's talking about me, which is entirely possible. Though I would think it would be kind of funny to see me kind of live streaming and say, no, this guy is trash, when you could very easily just not click. And then you wouldn't have to worry about me. So maybe you're talking about DeMarcus Covington, which is kind of odd because from all accounts, he's a pretty good coach. But I guess I'll never know. Mike, how are you, man? Don't know much about Covington. Hopefully it works. Was hoping Matt LaFleur would hire Banky for D-line coach and Nags for QB coach. Would have been awesome. Let me tell you what a disaster that would have been. I'd have been like in his ear every day in practice saying, yeah, you know, Matt's calling it. Like, just get up the line of scrimmage and you see that too high look and you're just going to run. And then if that safety comes down, you're going to chuck it for Jesus. That's what it would have been. That is 100% what it would have been. Abdul, thanks again, man. Did we overestimate wide receivers or did they disappoint? I think there it'd be really hard to not acknowledge disappointment from their output this season, right? I think they were way more inconsistent than the Packers probably hoped for, and certainly the fan base hoped for. I don't think people overestimated them. I think there's the talent that they have is undeniable. I think it is kind of an issue because of the way the roster is constructed, when you have nothing but a bunch of young guys coming up together. Sounds great in theory, and I still like that theory, and I still think it can work, but they certainly all kind of hit their growing pains at the same time, right? The inconsistency, the drops, clearly the number one issue, and just, you know, the inability of LaFleur and the offensive coaching staff to figure out a way to not only get them all involved, but to keep them involved and get them producing on a consistent basis. That's all stuff that I would suspect is going to be looked at under a microscope all off season by Matt and his staff, because, again, I think the talent is undeniable. And I do think they'll probably add a body to that room, either through free agency or through the draft. I suspect the draft. But there's still all the promise in the world. And as we talk about here all the time, and I'm sure everyone's sick of hearing it, but it's very true, progress is not linear. Development is not linear, especially in the NFL when it comes to young players. That is the key, is finding that consistency. And the only way to do that is to get them on the field playing, which is what they've done these first 2 years. Hopefully, and traditionally, at that position, old adage now for decades when it comes to the wide receiver position has been, year three is usually when it clicks in and they take off. Now, that has somewhat changed in recent days, in recent kind of vintage NFL, because, I mean, so much of the college game, and even like going back to high school, is predicated on their work in seven-on-seven stuff, the passing game, the spread stuff. It's so different now than it used to be. So they're a lot more kind of pro-ready, and they come into the NFL usually able to contribute right away. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to be inconsistent, have drops, have kind of growing pains, as it were. And I think we'll see that start to turn around next season. But again, I don't say all that to dismiss it. It was certainly a disappointing year from the wide receiver group. N.A., how are you, man? Hendrickson, doubt he becomes available personally. Yeah, I saw the quote, and I know it's been talked about quite a bit in the last day or two, but yeah, I can't imagine he actually hits the market. You know, that's a, talk about a premium position. And the way that roster is constructed, I think that speaks more to why T. Higgins will be available. You know, you just can't let a pass rusher like that out the door, as opposed to, like, you pay both receivers and the quarterback, but you let your pass rusher walk. It's not very smart roster construction. And who knows? We are talking about the Bengals, but I'd be surprised if he actually hits the market. Abdul, thanks again, man. You mentioned Walker might not be the long-term answer at left tackle. How about Tom at right tackle? Still can't get over how cooked he got against the Eagles. Well, but now watch that kid who cooked Tom in that game, and watch him throughout the playoffs, and not just those games, but this whole season. I mean, he's playing lights out ball. But Tom definitely had a disappointing game against the Eagles. But you don't throw away the body of work just because of one bad game. People have bad games. Good players have bad games. It happens, no doubt about it. But yes, you know, Zach Tom is going to get paid, and he's going to be their right tackle. I know there's been rumblings about possibly moving him to center. I would be absolutely shocked if that occurred. He's still a really good tackle, and that is a premium position. And again, one bad game, it doesn't mean he's done or cooked or anything like that. He still had an awesome season at right tackle. What else we got here, folks? John, I like that idea. Having a recent defensive coordinator added to the staff should be a welcome addition. I mean, it doesn't guarantee anything, obviously, but I do think, yeah, having seen it from that side of things and then coming back to a position coach certainly helps you as far as understanding what your defensive coordinator is going through, asking for, how you can support it, how you can help along the way. It can't hurt. I definitely think it helps kind of give that vision to a guy. Why don't teams hire pass rush specialists to work with guys in season? How many dudes do you need on staff, Brett? They already got like 20 guys out there in street clothes and their Packers gear going, well, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. They already have 100 coaches on the sideline, man. I certainly think you've got, what, the defensive line coach. Sometimes you have an edge coach. Sometimes you got a defensive quality control guy. Occasionally, guys, teams have had edge rush kind of specialist coaches. But man, I don't know. At some point, I get it's a specialized league, but they have a ton of coaches already. I don't know how many more you need to add. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. I know it's only been a few weeks, but your draft industrial complex podcast, but any early draft season draft crushes? I like the cornerback from Eastern Carolina. Yeah, Golden, the Texas wide receiver, is a number one on my list, but I don't think he's going to, like, already the buzz around him is probably too good for him to last to the Packers at 23. Noel Williams, The corner out of Cal is a kid I really like. I've really been intrigued by his game. But we'll see. You're right. It is very early in the process. When are you having a New York meetup? New York Cheesehead asking the important questions. Sometime between combine and the draft, we'll do a meetup here in New York. I would suspect what combines like end of February into the first week of March, probably end of March, prior to April, around that time. Be on the lookout. Joe, thanks again, man. Packers special team was 29th in Gosselin rankings when they won the Super Bowl. Don't think season rankings mean that much. What hurts is total breakdown in playoff game. Yeah, the playoff performances are always going to get, you know, pumped up and fixated on. And look, I don't think the special teams, even though, yes, Nixon fumbling the very first kickoff is absolutely undesirable. But again, and I've talked about this, you know, it's not like Bisaccia said, go out there and fumble, you know. But the games where you can see a direct correlation, like the Bears game in Lambeau, where you have a fake or a trick punt return, that you can ascribe to coaching and preparation. And I certainly think Rich has to wear that. But then Rich also gets to wear winning the first Bears game by blocking that kick at the end and recognizing a weakness in their protection unit, you know. But yeah, as far as the rankings go, I'm with you. I think if you're interested, you should check out Bill Huber's piece that he did. I think he dropped it this morning. He kind of feels like Bill's maybe taking the mantle a little bit from Gosselin as far as doing his own special teams rankings for all 32 teams. And the Packers, I believe, came in hovering in the tied at 22nd. Curiously enough, though, to your point, the Chiefs and Eagles came in at 21 and 29th. It's much more about building a program than where your rankings are. New York Cheese said, yeah, most likely at the Kettle. That's where I would like to do it, definitely. At Pianos. At Pianos. I actually love Pianos, man. That's a great spot to see a gig. But no, it will most likely be at Kettle of Fish. Oh, Johnny, that's depressing. Game-swinging fumbles is becoming an integral part of Matt LaFleur playoff football. See? I'd take you to task for that if it wasn't fucking true. I mean, and the worst part is it's like guys you would suspect wouldn't fumble. Man, that big dog fumble against the 49ers is still like ice into my heart. That is tough stuff. Oh, Bill, what's up, man? Bill putting it out there. Don't waste your time and money going to the owners' meeting. Ask Matt after we beat the Bears for the second time next year if he'll ever make Johnson happy. That's fair. I like it. Look at this. Big Al, if Love is injured and Willis is injured and Sean Clifford is injured, would that mean Sean Mannion could play quarterback? No, I don't think there's going to be a player coach in the future anytime soon, but it's a fun idea. Sign him to a one-day deal. Why not? What's the worst that could happen? All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Quick reminder, if you haven't yet, make sure you check out my conversation with Cliff Crystal. It dropped a little bit ago, a couple hours ago here on the YouTube channel, talking about the Packers' two historic three-peats and the differences in eras and the difficulties in winning a championship as the Chiefs try to win their third in a row in the Super Bowl era. Really honored to talk to Cliff. He has forgotten more about the Green Bay Packers than most of us will ever know. The Green Bay Packers historian, Cliff Crystal, right here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Make sure you check that out, as well as my conversation with Mark Oldacres, one of our contributors at Cheesehead TV. We looked at six different positions the Packers could target in free agency this spring. Make sure you check that out as well. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.